This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. Super Bowl 59. You know, there's not that many times that a Super Bowl comes to a city, and my producer Jeff Gilgreave and I decided that we thought it was important to check in as we ramp up to the Super Bowl with Jay Cicero, who is the president and CEO of Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, because these just don't happen that many times for cities. And this can be really a defining moment for the city. And we've already seen a rally cry across the city and doing so many different projects to pretty ourselves up to make sure that we are ready to put on the greatest show in America for sure. And he brings with him some special guests today that are playing integral parts of this presentation. Leah Brown, the manager of policy, government, and public affairs with Chevron's Gulf of Mexico business unit. And we'll talk about folks that want to volunteer. Mike Sawaya, president and general manager of the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. We'll talk a lot about the improvements there and what we can hope to see by Super Bowl time, as well as Evan Holmes, the general manager of ASM Global. That's the organization responsible for the management of the Dome, the Arena, and several other state-owned properties throughout the metropolitan area. And we'll get a feel for the history of the Dome, the history of Super Bowls there, and how important that facility is to the city. So we'll start off with Jay Cicero. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Always glad to be on.
So, Jay, I know you got your finger on the pulse of everything that's going on and everything that's happening. I visited with Michael Heck on Wednesday. He is as excited as ever and thinks that things are on track. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's easy to get Michael excited, but we're excited also, yeah, for sure. You know, there's a lot of moving parts to hosting a Super Bowl, and it takes a village, so to speak. But we have 16 active working subcommittees under the leadership of Marcus Brown from Entergy as our committee chair, and the New Orleans Saints and the Sports Foundation. So we've just everybody's working hard and everybody has plans, and it's all starting to come together.
Absolutely. I know we want to get things started, but I wanted to give you an opportunity if you had some opening remarks that you wanted to make.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a matter of pride for us at the Sports Foundation. This will be our fourth to serve as the host committee staff. And certainly partners like Chevron and Entergy and the Saints and Ochsner and the ASM Global and the Morial Convention Center. It takes all of us working together to make this happen, and a lot of planning in place, a lot of fundraising has taken place, and so we're in a good position right now, and hopefully be in a spot to be able just to execute the plan over the next 4 months.
So remind me, how far are we from the event?
We're a little over 4 months.
Last time I asked you that, you had it down to the minute.
Don't try and entice me into something I don't like. But, you know, those things drive me nuts, and I can't sleep at night if I start thinking about the number of days. But it's coming soon, and things are moving in the right direction for sure.
I don't know about you, but these months seem to be flying by, August and September, and now we're into October. I mean, it's like, where did the month of September go for sure?
Yeah, the closer we get, it seems that time goes a little quicker.
So let's bring in Leah Brown, manager, policy, government, and public affairs, Chevron's Gulf of Mexico business unit. Leah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I know you guys are running the Super Bowl 59 ambassador program, which plays a really critical role in the success of the Super Bowl. So I guess we'll start off with, how can people across Louisiana be involved, even if they're not going to the game?
Yes, great question. So we're happy to present the Ambassador Program, working with the Sports Foundation. Clearly, hosting people, it's what we do as the city of New Orleans. That's, I would say, better than any other city in the world. Folks who want to sign up to be ambassadors have until October 28th, and they can go directly to NOLASuperBowl.com.
And so what would the opportunities be for the volunteers? I mean, I'm sure that they're very diverse in nature, right?
Yeah, so working with the Sports Foundation, again, we will have training for the ambassadors once folks are signed up for the program. They're going to be stationed in a variety of areas, so it could be anything from helping guests who arrive at the airport to different hotels or downtown venues. So there, it will be places and spaces all over the city where folks are coming in and may need some assistance.
And they could just go to NOLASuperBowl.com to sign up. How many volunteers do you anticipate that you're going to need to put this on?
Well, we're super excited that thus far we've had such high interest. We have about 6,200 people who've already signed up, and we're looking to get roughly 7,000.
That's incredible. 6,200 already, and you
it
need
is,
7,000?
It is. So, you know, we're... Yes, we need 7,000. Very optimistic that we will reach or exceed that goal. You can also see folks signing up ambassadors at Saints games and other local community events.
You know, what's interesting is they're going to get to see a lot of what's going on front and center, right? The excitement of people coming in, those that are for the NFC team or the AFC team, and, you know, bringing all of that energy, and then the media. I mean, I think what are you going to have, like 6,000 members of the media attending as well?
Yeah, agreed. It is definitely a very unique opportunity and a way to participate in the Super Bowl, even if, you know, you're not planning on attending the game. I think it's a way to allow all parts of our city to kind of be a part of Super Bowl 59.
So these ambassadors, what are they going to kind of be responsible for?
So it'll vary based on which location you're placed in, and the team will kind of look at some of that once they have individuals all signed up into the system and go through the trainings that are going to be scheduled, likely for early next year. But it could be providing directions. It could just be passing out some of the really cool Super Bowl swag. There's a commemorative bead that highlights all of the different New Orleans Super Bowl activities. So it'll be, you know, quite diverse, probably based on where you are.
And what does it do? The ambassadors, is there something for them from Super Bowl 59?
We do. I do believe there are going to be other Super Bowl swag that will be unique only to those who are signed up for the program. So clearly, there's going to be a cool Super Bowl 59 shirt for the ambassadors that will set them apart from maybe others participating. And they may have some additional info on what, if the team has any other cool paraphernalia for those who are participating.
And most importantly,
that's exactly right, Leo. You know, there's going to be specific clothing and identification for volunteers to be able to participate. You know, there'll also be a post-event party somewhere, of course, for all the volunteers and the ambassadors. So we'll be excited to be able to do that once Super Bowl is done.
And I read somewhere, Jay, I think also, and Leah, that y'all have made sure that there's going to be complimentary parking for folks, because a lot of this stuff is at downtown venues, which sometimes that can be a challenge, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's important for us to make it as easy as possible for the volunteers and for the ambassadors to be able to, you know, have a easy logistical check-in parking that'll be provided at no cost to them, as well as assignments and easily available communication where if there's any questions that they can't answer, that they're working with us. But, you know, like I always say, we always want to show visitors where our favorite po' boy place is, and 2 hours later we're visiting with them and they're going to be staying at our house that night. So it's something that New Orleanians do better than anyone else, and we welcome visitors and we make friends so easily. That's something that's very special about our area.
So, Leah, are there any special requirements to be a Super Bowl ambassador?
So you only need to be 18. That's the primary requirement to sign up. But other than that, that's really it. And the details, as well as maybe some high-level FAQs, are also posted at the NOLASuperBowl.com link.
And that application deadline, again, is, I think you said, October 28th.
October 28th.
That's correct. So, Chevron's leading this volunteer initiative in the greater New Orleans area. Are there other ways of volunteering? That Chevron is participating, excuse me?
So for now, we're going through the host committee sponsorship. I would say that's the primary way that we're connected to this particular activity. But of course, we continue to have a multitude of partners across the greater New Orleans area. And this is really part of our larger commitment to economic development. As both of you well know, it's a huge boost to the local economy.
Yeah, I think y'all are... with partners, you're partnering with the Bayou Region Incubator and Startup North Shore, as well as Fletcher Community College and others in this endeavor, right?
Well, yeah. So those are more so in the space of an ongoing commitment that we have. And those are definitely some of our other economic development partners that we do different projects with year round.
Yeah. Final thoughts, Leah?
Excited for Super Bowl 59. I think the closer that we get to the date, you know, the more excited that folks get. It's a bit like waiting for Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. All right, we got to get to a break. Leah Brown, thank you so much for joining us. Manager, Policy, Government, and Public Affairs of Chevron's Gulf of Mexico Business Unit. When we come back after the break, we will visit with Michael Sawaya, New Orleans Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. And we will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We've dedicated this hour to the ramp up to Super Bowl 59. We've talked with Jay Cicero, President and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, as well as Leah Brown from Chevron. And joining us now is Mike Sawaya, President and General Manager of the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. So glad to be here today with you and Jay.
Mike, the convention center is such a piece of critical infrastructure to everything that we do with tourism and hospitality. And y'all have been engaged in this transformation process for quite a while. Tell us about some of the renovations happening at the convention center that have been completed and are yet to be completed.
Sure. Well, as I've mentioned before on the show, we started this process back in 2018, and it's the largest renovation project we've ever done in the history of the building. It totals $557 million, and some of this is things that we haven't touched since we opened the building in 1985. So a lot of the plan will be done before, and there are some things that will be done afterward, but so far we've taken a lot of the meeting rooms offline, about 60 meeting rooms that we've completed and opened up and replaced all the carpet, all the finishes, all the lighting and all the technology, things like that. I think probably the most noticeable thing for people in the community is Convention Center Boulevard, because when you drive down Convention Center Boulevard, you see a 7.5-acre pedestrian park and native landscaping and new outdoor areas and just a real transformation of the ingress parts of the building. A new transportation center, a $65 million investment on behalf of the convention center that creates a great experience for visitors that we welcome into our building. So really, those things coupled with a 40-acre roof that's just been completed make phase one of our project completed about $175 million worth of work already done.
And just for the benefit of our listening audience, it's a little building over there. It's only 1.1 million square feet, and it consumes 11 city blocks of exterior frontage. Not anything of any magnitude, right?
You know, about three-quarters of a mile long, Neil. You know, it, I never really appreciated that until we redid a roof, and it's a 40-acre roof. So it tells me that the building is 40 acres long as well, so almost 2 million square feet long. So a lot of work to be done, but fortunately we're well on our way.
Now, a lot of times, you know, you're faced with new challenges in these renovation projects, and one of them is the prioritization of sustainability. What does that look like for you guys?
You know, it's a big issue for us and for our customers. We want to be very responsible where that's concerned. And we've invested about $20 million in sustainability initiatives. And that's everything from recycling 460,000 pounds of construction materials, like 84% of the waste that we diverted from landfills during phase one. We recycled everything from old ceiling tiles that are actually being used at a facility in Mississippi to concrete, which is went straight from the demo to the parking lot construction. So we even recycled all of our old carpet. So we're really taking a keen eye to being responsible and sustainable. And the roof I mentioned before, you know, redirects the rain runoff into the Mississippi River. And that's critical because it improves the drainage and stays out of the downtown drainage system. And that's always a good thing in New Orleans.
Is that new? All right. Did y'all used to hit the city drainage system?
You know, this roof does it in a bigger way. We had some of the troughs that went across the port terminal into the river, but we're doing it in a much greater way with the new design.
And, you know, I've been there several times, Mike. It looks phenomenal, the work that's been done thus far. And it's really all about the competition, right? I mean, you have to stay current. You're competing against other exhibition facilities each and every day. And if you don't stay current, you fall behind.
It truly is. And the fact of the matter is, we need to modernize our facilities, you know, to keep up with everyone else. I saw a chart the other day that was presented by New Orleans and Company of all the major investments in convention centers around the country. And while we're spending $558 million, there are buildings that are spending $2 and $3 billion on renovations and repositioning. So this refresh is just the first phase. We're already working on our next phase of renovations, about a $250 million new five-year plan after this one is completed. So reinvestment is important for us to keep up. And, of course, this is not money, but it is tax dollars that go to anything else in the city. It's all visitor dollars that are being used for those renovations.
And a lot of the stuff and the materials that the structure was originally built with has changed, like, you know, LED lighting. Everybody's been making that transformation. But when you do that in 1.1 million square feet, it's a different dimension, right?
Well, it truly is. I mean, with the upgrades that we've made, we're saving about 590,000 kilowatt hours of electricity every year. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, how much is your light bill? Because that's kind of the way people look at it, is the cost of utilities. And what is your light bill? I said, well, used to be about $6 million a year. It's about $1 million less than that today with all the new investments that we've made in sustainability.
Absolutely. That's a good thing for certain. So we know that the convention center is involved in hosting events for the Super Bowl, because there's just, I mean, there's really not a whole lot that's untouched when a Super Bowl comes to town, right?
Well, they use a big part of the exhibit hall, as you can imagine, because we'll welcome everyone here for the fan event. And, you know, I was just out in the exhibit hall today. We have a convention in town this week that's 18,000 people. They're using every bit of space here at the center. The Super Bowl will use the entire building, the exhibit hall. Most of that exhibit hall will be used for the fan experience, and all of the meeting rooms will be used and all the programming around. So our building total is 3 million square feet. it's easy to say that all of that will be used for the Super Bowl.
And a good portion of what your capital improvement plan is going to be completed by then?
Yeah, a large part. You know, we have to work between events, just like the Superdome did, in order to not interrupt the business flow. So phase one has been completed. That is about 60 meeting rooms on what we call the phase three part of the building. All that's been done. Before the Super Bowl, we'll complete the second part of that that takes us from phase two into phase three. If that makes sense to people who have been to our building, you know, we were built in three different eras. So all the public areas and the meeting rooms on the newest part of the building will have been redone by the Super Bowl. And then after the Super Bowl, we'll complete all those renovations at the end of 2026.
And the Convention Center and the Sports Foundation seems to have, over the years, created a more symbiotic relationship because, much like the NFL experience has hosted there at your facility, you're finding more and more of these sporting events doing similar things there at the Convention Center, right?
Certainly, that is the case. You know, Jay and the Sports Foundation have been tremendous partners for us. We work very well in concert together. They're very professional the way they approach everything. We put together a pickleball tournament that we just completed our second year and just developed that from scratch with Drew Brees and the Brees Foundation, and was another big success this past year. And already looking at next year, where we're going to host Andre Agassi, that's going to be a big draw for us as well. So we're always on the lookout for new events, and there'll be something that Jay and the Sports Foundation are going to announce very shortly, the major citywide event that's going to be coming up out into the future, but that's something to be announced another day.
And the beauty of it is,
and the Convention Center also has hosted so many fan events over the years in conjunction with not only Super Bowl, but the men's Final Four fan event, the college football playoff game in 2020, the one LSU won, by the way, their fan event, the NBA All-Star Game fan events, WrestleMania fan events. So they are a vital, vital part of major events in New Orleans.
And unlike most other places, this is both to you, Jay, and Mike, you know, you can walk from the Convention Center to the Dome, from the Dome to the French Quarter, back to the Convention Center with, you know, not much effort, quite frankly.
Well, you're right. It's one of the biggest strengths that we have for attracting major sporting events as well as major conventions. I mean, Convention Center is less than a mile from the French Quarter, a little bit over a mile from the Superdome. So we couldn't ask for a better package, and it's one of those things that makes us, that keeps us competitive when we're bidding on major events.
Absolutely. Mike Sawaya, thank you so much for joining us. He's the president and general manager of Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. We got to get to a break, and when we come back, we'll visit with Evan Holmes, the general manager of ASM Global. They are responsible for management of the Superdome as well as the arena and several other state assets. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We've dedicated this noon hour to the ramp up to Super Bowl 59. We started out with Jay Cicero, who's the president and CEO of Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. We visited with Leah Brown from Chevron and Mike Sawai, the president and GM of the Morial Convention Center. And now we're joined by Evan Holmes, general manager of ASM Global. They manage one of those other small buildings in the city of New Orleans, otherwise known as the Caesars Superdome. Evan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Thanks for having me on.
So there's quite the legacy with the Superdome and Super Bowls. Tell us about it.
Well, the Superdome has been hosting Super Bowls, I think, since 1978. So I think we've had seven to date. This year will be the eighth. And Super Bowls tend to get the headline, but obviously a lot of other events have happened here between Final Fours and Pope visits and boxing matches and Rolling Stone shows and everything in between. And we may even add something to that list here at the end of this month with the Taylor Swift show. So, yeah, a
three
lot going on here. Three of them, yes, and it just seems like Jay mentioned earlier how the days keep ticking away. Well, that show is right in front of us. But that's a big one that we're really excited about. It takes advantage of all the infrastructure that I know Michael and Jay were talking about earlier with our downtown location. So a lot going on, and we're excited about it, especially for obviously the Super Bowl.
Evan, I got to imagine that each one of these events presents unique challenges, right?
Absolutely. You know, the Super Bowl, in and of itself, is almost like the circus comes to town. You know, we have 52 acres here on this campus, and they're going to use every square inch and beyond. They're going to go beyond the traditional Superdome campus as we kind of know it here, and I think most in town could appreciate. It's just expanded so much in terms of the event activity, and I know Michael was on, and the assets that we have here from the convention center on up to our facility, but also throughout the rest of the city. It's really a citywide event. And, you know, we sometimes joke around here that the Super Bowl feels like a 4-hour excuse to spend 4 or 5 days in a city. And it's really that to come to Super Bowl. And actually, it's going to be more than that, because the first day, I know we kind of circle Super Bowl Sunday, but really our first kind of chance to experience that event will be opening night, which is the Monday before Super Bowl. It's kind of the old media day. It's more of an activation, more of a fan experience event. So whatever the date is, and actually if Jay's on the line, it's actually 128 days for those that are counting until we get to Super Bowl Sunday. But I know it's like you're saying that, but we got it on
he hates it. You're on the hit list now.
You and Mark Romig can't resist.
That's it. So we're looking forward to it. But look, at the same time, you know, we're sitting here looking at it. We've got the rest of the same season, we got Taylor Swift. We got, I think we have 27 Pelicans games, believe it or not, that are going to be between now and the game. We got a Sugar Bowl, we got a Bayou Classic, we got a New Orleans Bowl, high school football, and about 10 to 12 concerts, some yet to be announced. So, you know, we're kind of in that mode constantly. But back to your point, Noel, this is, the Super Bowl is a different animal entirely, and the scale of it. And that's why you have to have leadership from Jay and his team to kind of really wrap their arms around it. You know, Superdome, it's the host venue, but it's a smaller part of the overall operation. So we can control all those other events on our own. But when you get to these big scale events, that's why you need great leadership from Jay and his team to really pull this thing all together.
And to Jay and Evan and these folks that are putting this on, none of these folks are demanding individuals, right? Just easy-go-lucky. You
know, none of our partners ever ask for anything that we don't have, that's for sure. But, you know, that's where we all work together and have resources that we pull together and creative minds. And, you know, Newell, we kind of talked about it earlier. It takes a lot of people, a lot of creativity,
yeah,
and a lot of folks like Evan and Mike and Leah to really pull off these major events. We're fortunate to have not only these facilities, but the people that are involved with them.
Yeah, I say that kiddingly, because that's the gig. I mean, that's part of the deal, right? When you're in this type of business. Evan, the Superdome is about to celebrate its 50th birthday. Already, it seems like yesterday. I mean, you know, for so many of us, it just didn't seem that long ago that we walked into the dome for the first time.
Yeah, you know, and we're going to acknowledge that here, and we're going to be, you know, announcing some things here soon to kind of prop that up and take advantage of this. Really, it's a civic icon. We kind of take a step back, and you know, I think you kind of look at it through the prism of what other markets are doing and what they've had to do with their legacy facilities built around the same time. And unfortunately, for a lot of those communities, they're dealing with parking lots and new buildings. They had to spend billions upon billions of dollars to get built. Whereas when you look at the Superdome, it's been able to stand the test of time. And a lot of that goes back to the original design that, you know, the folk tale there is that Governor McKiffin at the time said, I want that Astrodome they built in Houston to fit inside of my Superdome. And that actually can happen. It's 1 million square feet over there in that Astrodome. It's about 2 million square feet here in the Superdome. So having that space is what allowed us to go through this recent renovation project to take advantage of the square footage to build the things within the building that can modernize it to allow us to be competitive with all of the new buildings and all of these communities that are spending billions upon billions of dollars, like I said, where we spent a fraction of that. And the legacy of the building here is as much the events as it is just its kind of stature as this architectural marvel, and having the ability to do all these things that others, frankly, don't have the benefit of doing. So, you know, to Jay's point about having creative thinkers, you know, on the architectural side, Buster Curtis and his team and Dave Dixon, those folks that kind of were the for the Standard Bearers of the Superdome, had that foresight, and then we, you know, ridden that momentum into this most recent renovation, because it really is a preservation of really a civic asset here that is used not only by Super Bowls and the Saints, but by the community. We'd like to joke that this is kind of New Orleans' living room here, and we don't take that lightly. So there's a sense of stewardship here that we want to protect that sense of place that many places, admittedly, they'll tell you they don't have that type of heritage or sense of community pride. So we're really proud of what we've done and the history, and looking forward to another 20, 30, 40 years.
$560 million transformation completed earlier this summer. The big push, I guess, was to get it done before the Super Bowl, and y'all accomplished it.
Yeah, you know, we had quite the plan when we started this thing back in 2016, and we joked, you know, I think Joe Burrow was still smoking a cigar down in the locker room after the LSU championship game, and we were popping ceiling tiles here to start this job, to kind of give you a sense of how long this has gone on, and, you know, drop a worldwide pandemic in there and drop all the resulting impacts. I remember sitting on a computer screen watching a cargo ship in China to see if our escalators were going to make it over here or not in time. So got through all that. That's behind us now. It's a great learning experience, and it'll be a chapter in someone's book someday, but glad to get through it, glad to put the hard hat in the best way and be able to really activate this building. And anyone that's been here, I think, can appreciate really the transformation that this building has experienced. And a lot of that transformation is frankly based on the guest experience. There's not a whole lot of things that are kind of dedicated to generating a ton more revenue or suites or private spaces. It's more concourse, escalators, amenities, be it food and beverage, restrooms, et cetera. It was really a way to kind of bring this thing into the 21st century to allow us to do all the things and host these major events like the ones we mentioned earlier.
I really got to feel it for the first time, see it for the first time. I went to the Saints Eagles game and loved it. It was great. Big open spaces. You just never felt like you were rubbing up against people. Mm-hmm. You know, and that game was sold out. And, I mean, so it was a great experience.
Yeah, you don't really know what you don't have until you have it. And I think we look back on where the old dome was configured, and you're right. Halftime, I mean, you might as well just go out there and just stand still, because you're going to be blocked in. So everybody trying to move around under the old configuration. But now there's a sense of movement, and people can get around and get to places they otherwise maybe couldn't get to before. So until you get it, you don't realize what you have. But then it goes back to the architects and those that we worked with on the creative side to see that potential in this building and be able to execute it.
And that puts us in a better competitive space, right, to lure all that we want to lure to that venue for sure.
It does. I mean, we check all the boxes from a facility standpoint. And Mike and Michael and Jay mentioned it earlier. You know, we kind of call it the Golden Triangle here, which is kind of the community, right? You've got the sports campus. A mile away, you have the convention center. A mile away from that, you have the French Quarter. And in between, you have 26,000 hotel rooms, world-class cuisine, world-class hospitality. And for folks from the Midwest or Northeast that aren't used to the nicer weather come the, you know, February or March, and oh, by the way, you can take your drink with you and walk to your event. That's a package that most communities, you know, really can't compete with. And so I think that complete package is really what differentiates this market. But of course, it comes down to the blocking and tackling. You got to be able to, you know, execute the event. You got to get all the resources together. And again, that's where Jay does his thing, and we do our thing on our events, and Michael as well. So it's really a group effort, but it all comes down to that, having that sense of place here that we have that many don't.
Absolutely. Well, folks, thank y'all all for joining us. We really appreciate it. I'd like to give Jay just a minute or two to wrap this up for final comments, Jay.
Thanks, Newell, and thank you, Evan, and Mike and Leah, if you're still listening, thank you all. But this effort is so large. We started with a bid by Mrs. Benson back in 2018 to bring the 2024 Super Bowl here when NFL expanded from 16 to 17 games. We moved it from 24 to 2025, and we've been planning ever since, and fundraising and preparing for this week and this one huge opportunity for Louisiana and New Orleans. But
Can't say enough about Mrs. Benson and the Saints and their participation in everything that we've been involved with here, especially Super Bowl and NBA All-Star games and other major events that come to town.
No doubt we went live from Pelicans Media Day. Had a blast. That was a lot of fun. I can't believe basketball's starting already. You forgot to mention that, Evan. No, maybe you did. Pelicans starting.
27 games between now and Super Bowl, so there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, once again, thanks to all of you. Thanks on behalf of the community for all that you do. You know, I know that we are in good hands, and I know that secretly Jay Cicero knows exactly how many minutes until kickoff of that Super Bowl. He's just not willing to admit it. But we'll get him to admit it now and then.
I block it out. I try and block it out so I can sleep.
Absolutely. Folks, y'all have a great weekend. Thank you for joining us. We got to get to a break. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us. Want to be in that number when the Saints host Tampa Bay and Sean Payton in Denver? Enter the win WWL's Double Saints Game Day giveaway. Score a pair of premium game tickets to both games, plus VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group, Open Bar, Premium Liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win tickets to the Saints, Tampa Bay, and Saints, Denver. From Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints and WWL. And just a reminder, you know, we are the broadcast partner of the New Orleans Pelicans. So Monday, the Pels preseason begins with a matchup against the Orlando Magic at home in the Smoothie King Center. It's going to start at high noon on Monday. So that last hour of my show and the hours of Scoot Show will be broadcast on WWL FM at 105.3, and the Pels will be on the Big 870 AM, and we'll be on the free Odyssey app as well. Ian Hoke is in for Scoot. What do we have coming up, Ian?
Hey, good afternoon, Sheriff. We're going to talk about LaToya Cantrell's track record. She says she's got a proven record of success. We'll take a deep dive and also look at the 9 most endangered sites in New Orleans.
Have a great weekend, folks. See you Monday.